Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And a very happy Saturday to everybody who's listening here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours. I'm Jody, joined by Lindsay and Greg. How are you?
Good morning.
Hello there.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. And it's a significant time of year that we might unpack a little bit of that today in relation to people's travels. Because 10 years ago this weekend is the anniversary of when tourism around the world was majorly targeted by international terrorists in trying to have a go at the US, and in the process 50,000 people that live in the World Trade Centers were put at risk and their lives were put on the line, and a significant number of people did lose their lives.
It was a terrible weekend, or a terrible day, actually. I think that everybody that actually saw that happening, and including myself, I was asleep on the sofa and woke up, and everybody that was awake at that time thought it was a movie, you know, like, what movie is this? It was absolutely terrible. But, you know, the thing is about it all, too, it just makes us all a little bit more embarrassed to be human when people need to go to those lengths to... Yeah, to prove their point or whatever it is. But, terrible time. And it did. It changed. I know there's always events that are going to change the world, but I think this one really did because, Greg, as you said before, tourism was one of the major sufferers in this incident.
Well, it had that spin-off effect globally where it impacted majorly the tourism trade sector, the airlines, people that do business by travelling around the world. In fact, people that travelled internationally in their own countries, didn't it, Chokes?
Well, one of the major impacts, of course, was heightened security. And if you think back to pre-9/11, there was always been security screening of luggage in most countries and major airports, but you know, that's been heightened well and truly, and now we've got body scanners and different, you know, types of expectations, and now reducing the amount of liquids taken on board.
Think for yourself, think pre 9/11 and post 9/11, your travel experiences, have they been diminished, Jody?
I don't think they've been diminished. I'd much rather know that things are safe. Mm-hmm. And I think the steps in place seem to, if you look at history in the last 10 years, seem to have demonstrated that that's worked. So, you know, whether it should continue at that level or not, I think something to be looked at.
Or were we a bit laissez-faire? Were we a bit taking things for granted and a bit slack?
Well, I have to say, even in that period of time, you know, in inverted commas, heightened security, when my partner at the time and I were travelling through the Pacific Northwest of the US and Canada, there was very, very little security, even going on the ferries across from one country to another. In fact, the guy didn't even look at the screen when the luggage was going through. So, you know, is it tokenistic? Is it really applied in all aspects? And then in other countries, like in India with the terrible bombing attacks in Mumbai a number of years ago, the security went to such an extreme that, you know, it can take an extra hour and a half to get through, even to the point that in Delhi and major metropolitan cities in India, there's even screening of hand luggage in the metropolitan train system.
Well, there you go. There's something we take for granted.
Yeah.
I saw that the other day. In fact, they're building up to the 9/11 anniversary in the States, they are, in fact, putting screening back in a lot of public transport systems right now. They're building up for protection in case people launch that as a bit of an attack time. So it's true. People are impacted and people will continue to be impacted for some time.
And I think the funny thing is I saw a documentary on Tuesday night about 9/11 and security since then. And one of the points made was, I think it was the guy that was found in the plane, in the luggage section of the plane, and the New York Street bomber, is that these guys had been under the radar. They were being watched. Anyway, when this guy got on the plane, he had altered, I think, two letters of his name. And, of course, the CIA didn't pick that up. And the interviewer said quite simply, well, even on Google, if you misspell something, it will say, do you mean this? And this was a whole system of that computer system that they just didn't bother to add. So when we talk about security, we've really got to look at it and say, well, okay, if you miss something that simple that, you know, Google can do a spell check and get the name for you, you know, like, how safe are we? Or, you know, I don't know, obviously they're serious, but to miss something like that to me was just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
If you've got stories you want to share about, did it impact your travels? Did it impact your lives? In fact, did you sadly have anyone that was directly connected to the 9/11 bombings? The disaster that took place when those buildings fell down and the bombings that took place in terrorist attacks around the world in the following years? Let us know. 0427-JOY949, onair@joy.org.au. And if you actually have some travel tales or some stories, we might even see if we can put you to air as well. So give us a call. 1300-569-949. If you're listening from overseas, it's +61. And it's 1300 569 949.
You're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. We'll be with you right up until 1 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Something for everybody. Weekends on Joy.
Check out Weekends on Joy.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Oh, you got to love Kathy Freeman. And I can say that because I've known Kathy for about 20 years, and she is a marvellous woman. She was used to grow up in Ringwood. She was a Ringwood gal. Mm-hmm. And what a great athlete and inspiration she is.
I'm not saying anything because I have a strepsil in my mouth, Greg. I can see you looking at me trying to drag me in.
Well, I'll say something.
Thanks, Jared, because we're both chewing on one.
And if you've just joined the show, this is Detours here on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, Australia. And we always love to hear from you. You can SMS us 0427-JOY949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. That great track there before was Here Comes the Rain Again.
What a great song.
By the Eurythmics. And we have had a lot of rain in Melbourne in the last couple of days. Now, let's talk about Eurythmics because I know that Lindsay has a bit of a fascination for Annie Lennox.
It was more than a fascination, I have to admit. I even had my hair dyed Annie Lennox orange, and which was a great colour and was very good PR for my business I was running at that stage. But the Eurythmics came to Melbourne, I stood at the stage door waiting to catch a glimpse. I went to every nightclub looking for her. I tried to find out what hotel she was at just to get a glimpse of her. Anyway, I was in London a couple of years later and at Covent Garden and just sort of walking around, minding my own business, and there, brushing past me, was Annie Lennox. I was absolutely breathless. I went weak at the knees. I didn't know where to look. And I just watched her like a filthy old perv as she walked around, thinking, oh, do I follow her? What do I do? I couldn't even speak. I just stood there, just absolutely cemented to the ground. That's adoration. That's the most out of adoration I've ever had for anybody, really.
That's blind faith.
Isn't it? No. There's just some, and I'm sure that, you know, Annie Lennox is the type of woman, she turns men's heads, she turns women's heads. She is just that, you know, natural sort of generic beauty. Stunning.
I've got this feeling, Lindsay, that you're not the only person that's travelled halfway around the globe pursuing your musical, you know, fan, the one you're after, the one you want to be. And I can see you as Annie Lennox now. Now, those of you that know the voluptuous Lindsay Curliffe know that she actually models her hairstyle after Annie Lennox.
Yeah, I did actually. It was a bit sad. But that was look, it was one of those things. But I think when you're overseas, and I know this myself when I've travelled, is you're just hoping to bump into somebody that, you know, that is famous, that you can brush shoulders with or whatever. And I actually have a friend who many years ago was in I was in California, maybe LA. I can't remember whereabouts exactly. But his claim to fame is apparently Olivia Newton-John fell off a pier and he was the only one to dive in and try and save her. I'm hoping that's a true story. Yeah, but apparently she was flapping around in the water at the end of this pier and he was the only one that jumped in.
What would Olivia have been singing while she was in the water? What song would you sing as you're going down?
Well, I've actually must have had a premonition we were going to talk about Olivia Newton-John because I have got a track, Magic, to play later on in the program. I did actually have the fortuitous experience of seeing Stevie Nicks in concert in Atlanta, Georgia, when I was travelling. We pre-booked everything online and we're a bit anxious about if we get there, how do we get there, and then what happens when we get there and where do we get the tickets from and all this sort of stuff. And it was in an amphitheatre in the summer. I was absolutely gobsmacked that looking on the website, there was no instructions on how to get there because there's an assumption that everybody just drives. But of course, you know, I don't know how to drive on the right side of the road. We didn't have a car, and so we got public transport. And when we were at the bus depot, people were looking at us very oddly because, you know, we're the only white people in the whole area. And we headed out to this concert. It was amazing. Oh, so fantastic. And when you can combine travel with, you know, seeing your favourite music group or, you know, someone who you just really admire, I think that adds a different dimension altogether.
Did you buy the T-shirt?
No, I didn't. I hate those concert T-shirts. They're always really frumpy and you know, they don't ever fit well and they're really thick, so no.
Oh, they're nice winter T-shirts. Nice. But, you know, the marketing and all that that goes on behind. But talking about being the only white person at a function, when I was in England the second time, I ended up at a rave in a car park somewhere. I don't even know the suburb. Can't remember the suburb. And the music was amazing. Everybody looked amazing. But I walked in and I thought, oh, my God, I'm the only white woman here, because they're all sort of, you know, these big Jamaican dudes just going off. And there was this amazing music that was sort of reggae sort of house trip-hop stuff. And I didn't quite know what to do with myself. So I just stood in a corner and everybody, you know, was really polite. They come up and had a chat to me. When they found out I was from Australia, that sort of, you know, changed again, got asked all these questions. You know, the one, do you know John? You know, you live in Melbourne, do you know John? Well, there's a zillion Johns here. But in the end, a couple of other people turned up and I felt quite comfortable. But it is funny sort of being put into a minority, Jodie, that, you know, you're just not expecting.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
You know, I've been the only gay man in a lesbian bar in Shanghai, and I've had a thoroughly good time.
The only gay in the village.
Fantastic. The only gay in the village.
Lesbians. Yeah.
There were two straight Caucasian men in the bar who thought they were, you know, they were being treated like lords because they were just must have been wealthy businessmen. When the gay boy arrived and all the attention went off them, it was fantastic. It was so much fun.
How did you end up in a gay girl bar?
I got invited by the owner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she said, come along. I said, I'm not wearing the right stuff. And she said, here, I'll fix you up. And so she fixed me up and away we went.
So you went in drag?
No.
Greg.
She used to dress boys. In fact, she was probably a bit more boy-like in her dressing sense, which was really nice. Yeah.
Wow. So the women didn't, because I know sometimes in women-only bars in Melbourne, if you're a male and you're anywhere near there, they tend to go a little bit crazy.
I don't think our exclusive nature of, you know, separation of male and female, gay, lesbian, I don't think that translates overseas. Mm. I think it's particularly Western, it's particularly Melbourne, it's particularly maybe even Sydney-Melbourne, something we have in common with Sydney. But overseas, there's a lot more collaboration and sharing and, yeah, people do their own stuff. But if someone, you know, a gay person goes to a lesbian bar or vice versa, everyone's welcome.
Now, here's a question for you. In trivia, are you good at the geography questions? Because you love travel?
No.
Okay, well, I don't want either of you on my team on the forthcoming Trivia Night for Joy 94.9 fundraiser. Now, this is hosted by Melbourne Drive Team. It's at Chapel on Chapel, Chapel off Chapel, and it is at 2:30 for a 3 p.m. start till 7, and then there's disco dancing to close the night out. It's coming up on Sunday the 9th of October. Seats are $15 each. So it's really fantastic, and it'll be a great event, and we'd really love you to support it, and tickets are available from Joy.
What's the dress?
And they're only $15 too.
Yeah.
What do you wear? If there's going to be disco dancing at the end, what do we wear? Do we drag our 70s stuff out?
Flares, a t-shirt with lots of glitter on it. I suggest you get out your David Bowie wig that looks so good on you. A little bit of, you know, glam rock makeup, you know, all that sort of stuff. And your very high shoes.
And I've still got my high shoes.
Yeah. See, I was only two in 1972.
I was two as well.
I was born in 1972. I was thinking about 1974 because we interviewed Brian Thacker.
That's disgusting.
What do you mean it's disgusting? That's ageist.
Born in 1972. Got in 1972. Oh, no, I wasn't born in 1972 either, actually.
When did you do your first travel? When did you go overseas first,
when
Liz?
Did I go overseas first? Oh, I was a late starter. I was in my 30s, my first trip. And I actually wanted to go because when I was a kid, it was that thing that you saved up all your money from your part-time job and you went to London. And I had these big plans to go to London, but they got so caught up in my life in Melbourne that I didn't. Well, actually, I ended up in a relationship, to be honest, and they were delayed. And then I had my own business and I kept putting money aside to travel, but it wasn't until I was in my 30s I bit the bullet and that was it, and away I went.
Yeah, what about you, Joyce?
Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
My first overseas trip was in 1990 when I went to Germany as an exchange student. Well, actually, no, I went earlier than that to Bali with my family for a family holiday. But the independent travel was the first trip was 1990, and it was with Rotary as an exchange student. So we were all met at the airport. And there was this one poor girl who lived in, you know, upper Gumbuck, where it's west or something, and she didn't bring her passport, and she had to race on home and get the passport. But we had the flight with Qantas with all of the exchange students to Frankfurt, and then everybody dispersed from there to their various locations. And I remember standing there at the airport. No, I'd learnt German at high school, but I didn't really pay much attention. And I had no idea of whether the host family were coming to meet and greet me or not. So I just sort of stood there for a while, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then this, you know, dishevelled family kept running up the area to meet and greet me. So that was an amazing year away.
That's why they have that 3 hours. They get to the airport 3 hours before. It's not because you need to be there 3 hours before. It's for that one stupid person that leaves their passport behind, and you've got to get a taxi ride home and back again just to collect a passport. So
never ever done that. No, I have a lovely leather zipper that houses my passport and insurance papers and everything else, and that sits at the top of my bag. I'm very particular when I travel. Absolutely. I would absolutely die a death if I got to the airport and I didn't have my passport.
What do you do out there? 1-300-569-949. That's 1-300-JOY-949. Or on air at joy.org.au. Do you have a leather zipper like Lindsay has?
I have a very nice leather zipper case.
Now, we've actually had an SMS from James who's been listening, and he's a cabin crew member. We're talking in the beginning of the Detour show about security. And from his point of view, he says that you can never have enough security. I think it's crap that airport screening is a disincentive to air travel. Yes, it can be a hassle and can take extra time. So it's definitely worth... you've moved the screen, Lindsay. Can you put it back?
Oh, sorry. I was just reading faster than you were. Sorry about that.
He was saying as well that... oh, gosh, he's got lots of comments here. Let's have a look. People are using this as an argument for fast train projects between capital cities, and this is a bunch of baloney. Any super fast train is going to be a target as well, probably easier.
Well, that's true, but James, you've got a vested interest in there, Sunshine. I mean, you're a lovely man, I'm sure. Thank you for listening to Detours. But you have a bit of vested interest. If you're in the sector and you're up in the air, it probably... I think fast trains are a bit of a challenge for the airline industry because there's the... gimmick factor at the start will mean people want to try it. Airlines will have a slight reduction in passenger numbers because people will want to get on those fast trains.
Mm. And it's a bit of a novelty too, Greg, isn't it? I mean, look at the people, you know, the Ghan apparently is booked at constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really a commuter service though.
No, not really a commuter service, but, you know, talking about, you know, travelling across, you know, putting airlines out of business because we find, you know, train travel a little bit more romantic. I mean, you just look at the trains in Europe. They're constantly booked.
Well, I've got a mate, Ren, and I'll shout out to Ren. He's just turned 80, and he's a good friend of mine, Ren. He used to be with the Puffing Billy Preservation Society running around the tracks at night time. I've been out there on the little locomotive that runs around checking the tracks. And he's a train buff, so he'll travel the world and just go on trains, and he's one of thousands of people that go and book out those railways and those trains, and you can't get on. If you're just a random tourist, you're likely to rock up and not be able to get on a train because people like Ren are out there pre-planning their world trips just to go do train travel.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, when I was in the Blue Mountains a couple of years ago, I came across a bunch of European visitors who were on a train station in the middle of nowhere, and they'd actually planned their whole journey to explore not just the railways and the stations, but the architecture surrounding, and they were looking for the Art Deco ones as part of their itinerary for that day. You're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. Stay with us till 1 o'clock. We've got some ABBA coming up. We've got Olivia Newton-John and all things rockin'.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen.
Saturday nights on Joy 94.9. From 7, A Touch of Pink. At 9, Full Catastrophe. From 11, Finalism. And from 3 a.m, Trance Around the World. For the full program guide and to download the free Joy app, see joy.org.au.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Is Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Greg and Lindsay. That great track there was ABBA, Money, Money, Money. And of course, when you're travelling, you sort of need it. And you sort of need it before you go travelling so that you could buy the tickets. How do you guys save for your holidays?
Oh, you just get a credit card, an Amex or something like that, and away you go. I was really fortunate that I actually had a savings plan with a life office, and I actually used that for the tickets. You know, drew some money out of that because I actually bought my partner's ticket at one stage. And anyway, so yeah, that's what I did. I had a savings plan there, so I just withdrew some money, bought the tickets. The rest of it, I just made sure that I had enough money behind me because I didn't want to take too much cash. And a little tip, Amex does give you the best return rate when you use Amex. And yeah, so savings for me was relatively easy because it was already in play.
Do you pay for some of your travel early so that your accommodation's already done?
Never.
And dusted?
Never. No. Oh, no. I've, you know, the both times that I've been to Europe, you know, because the big plan was the first time to go to Paris. That was, you know, one thing on the bucket list that I had to get rid of. When I tried to organise an agent in Victoria, I think it was going to cost, I don't know, $80 or something for the visa. When we went to Earl's Court and organised it from Earl's Court, I think it was something like £15. So I think it's better to, look, get to your destination, enjoy that, and then just get a bit of a feel and see what's on offer because it is so much cheaper. When we were in Paris, we got off at Gare du Nord, walked across the road, found I think it was Nord Hotel or something like that. We were really lucky. The guy said, yep, if you come back at 10 o'clock, we'll have a room for you. Same thing in Amsterdam. Never, ever booked. But I, you know, there was nothing else going on in those towns. Like, it wasn't the Tour de France time in Paris or anything big happening in Amsterdam. But I found, when I told people what we'd actually paid, which I can't remember now, they were astounded because they'd paid double, if not triple, what we'd paid to stay in Paris, Amsterdam. When I went to Belgium, the same thing.
Have you ever done the El Cheapo travel, where you've gone overseas and you've done it in the cheapest possible way? Have you ever done that?
Middle of the road, but not backpacker. You're talking backpacker.
I've ended up in a resort. I mean, I was on New Caledonia in Noumea, and I got this gig to go overseas, and the airfare was provided by the airline at the time. I had to take some photos of the captain sitting out next to the walkway up to the plane or some ridiculous thing to get my flight. So I got my flight, went to New Caledonia, and I realised that I hadn't brought any money with me, didn't have a card with me, and I was really poor. So I befriended people strategically over the course of the 10 days.
You sound like a gigolo or something.
Well, that's right. Befriended people. And I ended up eating in the resort. They had this 5-star resort where your guests could bring you in, and I had different guests each night and worked my way through the menu. It's fabulous.
See, I could never ever do that. I'm not a survivor like that. I think I'd sit in the gutter and just cry if that ever happened to me. But I had an experience the first time I went to Penang. I got very, very ill. And I remember sitting on the plane going from KL to Penang, and it's really misty, you know, the mist in the mountains. And all I could see before us was this huge, great big mountain. Of course, the first thing you think of is, do I really want to eat my partner, you know, if we hit the mountain? But there was I remember seeing...
What did he look like? Or she?
She? Hello?
What did she look like?
She was sort of cute,
could
I guess.
Could you know, slice a bit off and roast her if you had to, out in the world?
I think she would have been a tasty little morsel, really. But, you know, she was a year older than me, a little bit tougher, I think. A bit like mutton, I think, if it had come to that. And there wouldn't have been any potatoes on the mountain to put with her.
Was it pre-security concerns? Because you would have had you had sharp knives on board if you needed to use them.
Well, yeah, I took some just in case, Craig. You know, my overhead luggage was rattling with the cutlery. I wasn't going, you know, empty-handed and unprepared.
Into the jungles of Borneo.
I actually took chutney and chili sauce, just in case you needed a bit of, you know, extra flavour. But and I remember sitting on the plane, and there was a fly on the plane, and I'm thinking, oh, this is really unhygienic, you know, a fly on the plane. And as you know, when you land, you know, they walk around with the spray cans and all the rest of it. By the time we got to the hotel, I wasn't feeling very well, so I had a Campari and a soda. I think the fly bit me, but I ended up so ill, I was delirious, and I was walking around the streets of Patang, and I found a dead snake on the ground, and I was waving it around at people trying to get a cab. Of course, nobody stopped for me. The sweat was pouring off me. I was shaking. I was hallucinating. And I went to and there's a restaurant near Ferengi Beach, and there's just rows of tanks of fish. And I swear this one big fish was saying, don't let them eat me. I just had to get back to the hotel. And, of course, there was a Buddhist celebration that day as well. So, you know, cabs were few and far between.
But a great place.
I was sick as a dog.
Batu Ferengi, one of the best beaches around.
Beautiful.
In Penang, part of Malaysia, on the west arm of the Malaysian Peninsula.
And talking about beautiful places in the world, we have Kenny, who says hello from Kuala Lumpur.
Oh,
and we've also got a message there from Sean, who says, I went to the Euro from London to Brussels in business class, and it was dirty, late, security and immigration checks took as long as the airports.
Mm.
And so therefore I can't see that as being a threat to airlines. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a difference between what people want to travel on and then what they think is safer. And I think there's no real logic in any of that.
But safety really wasn't a word that we use prior to 911 in the context that we do now. And I think that's a really bad way, a really sad way, more than anything, that the world has had to operate, that the word safety, you know, whenever you travel, it's sort of made, oh, will we be safe there? I think we're basically still safe anywhere.
Well, I think we think, will we be safe in the air? I think that's a heightened sense of, are we safe? You know, is the plane staying up? You know, for the first few years after 9/11, I did a lot of travel on Arab Airlines or airlines where I thought I might be a little bit safer. I travel a lot, and some of those airlines are the most exquisite ones. I've never been on an Emirates flight before, and I absolutely enjoy Emirates. I still do to this day. But some of those Middle Eastern air services are actually quite fun. I mean, as soon as you're up, you've got women with veils, you're part of the culture, and if you land, and if you're porting through any of those Middle Eastern airports, it's just a fabulous opportunity to explore different culture.
Well, isn't it also great to be able to listen to the radio on air, the in-flight entertainment, and listening to all the different languages? I love that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I travelled once and the only song that I remember hearing was, Dave D. Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch, or whoever they were singing Xanadu. It just seemed to be on this loop on the headset. I was postal by the end of that flight.
Oh, no.
So is Olivia Newton-John's going down into the water? Yeah. Was she singing Xanadu?
No. I don't know if I believe that story.
Who knows? You might have an opinion or something you'd like to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. It's nearly, I can't even read the time. It's 12.
It's day.
It's 12:43 here in Melbourne, Australia. This is Joy 94.9. And stay with us right up till 1 o'clock. And after 1 o'clock, we'll be Cravings.
Oh, with Pete Dillon.
Pete Dillon. He'll be joining us shortly to talk about what's coming up on the program, All Things Yummy in Your Tummy.
Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949. The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
And Olivia brings all my dreams alive here on Joy 94.9.
Ooh, I thought I did.
Sorry, honey. She was my first love.
I was always going to say that's a little bit corny, but no, I won't say that.
That voice is Pete Dillon coming up 1 o'clock on Cravings.
Yes, good afternoon.
What's on today, Pete?
We're talking all things new. We've got a new bar. Melbourne's own Tea Gezard is opening a new restaurant in Sydney. So we're going to have a bit of a yak to him. This bar called The Bottom End, the grooviest bar I've found in a year. And it also sounds a bit naughty. And we'll also be speaking to someone from The Nautical, which is a new name for a business at Number 3 Station Pier in Port Melbourne.
Good.
Beautiful.
And songs about things new.
Can I ask you a question before you go? Is it possible to do sugar-free cooking and actually have a
Absolutely.
Full range of delectable things on a
sure.
dinner table?
For sure. Diabetics have been doing this since some of those first books were created in the 1960s and 70s. You don't have to cook with sugar. Sugar's one of those unnecessary carbohydrates.
So last tip before you go, for travellers that might want to travel and eat and are diabetic and want to eat diabetic-friendly, what would they do while they're travelling overseas?
Don't eat anything sweet. and drink diet-free fizzy drinks rather than the water, because you never know, you could end up sick in the belly.
Yeah. And also, obviously, ordering meals along the way is important, but I've often seen people sort of, be in tears because for some reason the meal has been mixed up and they've ended up with something else, but...
Anybody who
I mean, for people who are kosher or something, that's important. Diabetics
for sure.
that are a bit more flexible.
Well, anybody who's got diabetes or has hypo or hyperglycemia should have a rough idea of what they're able to eat anyway.
Fantastic. That's Pete
Dillon. Common sense.
Coming up 1 o'clock with Cravings. Fabulous show here on Joy 94.9.
And that track before was Magic by Olivia Newton-John here on Joy 94.9. And coming up in a couple of weeks' time on Sunday, the 9th of October, is a fantastic trivia night. And it's a Joy Melbourne fundraiser, and it's hosted by the Monday Drive team at Chapel Off Chapel. And you can book a table, and it's only $15 a head.
I think we'll have a detours table. What do you reckon? We'll be right in the money with all the travel questions.
Well, you both said you're not very good at the geography, so what does that mean?
Oh,
you're good at travel, but not geography?
Much more. We can get Colin Kreiser. Now, Colin Kreiser is an amazing person from a whole range of things. He's actually part of the Lucille Ball that's taking place in Melbourne. Colin Kreiser is the only person I know that can take a taxi and manage to cross borders in US states and find his way back again.
Really?
His global navigation is superb.
Oh, he's
Colin
on our
Kreiser.
Team then.
He's on our
team.
Yeah,
he's on our team. Be prepared, Colin. We're going to have you in training over the next couple of weeks.
Exactly. Did you know that in Australia there is a staggering 101... Oh, I can't talk today. 118 million days or 33 billion days of accrued annual leave in Australia. So that means one in four Australian full-time employees is accruing more than 25 days annual leave. That's not good.
Well, it's extraordinary.
No, it's not.
You'll be sick. You'll actually, you know, you need to use your leave, folks. If you haven't booked a bit of a holiday, that's the time to start thinking about not just overseas, but in your own backyard. There's so much brilliant stuff happening to take some time off in your own backyard. And I noticed on our Facebook page, Jody, you're plugging away with some Melbourne in your own backyard stuff.
Yeah, I went to a breakfast on Friday with Destination Melbourne, who were, and as you know, on the program, we've had Denise Castro talking about the Discover Your Own Backyard campaign, which is really about getting citizens in their own communities aware of what there is to do and see in their own literal backyard. So when they have friends and family, rather than thinking, oh, we have to go out and do a whole bunch of other things, what can you explore and discover and also create economic stimulation in your own community? So it was fantastic. There were, you know, three case studies shown of people who'd done that really well. And, you know, it's a really interesting campaign. You can check it out on Destination Melbourne's website.
Well, I've been doing it whenever I'm in Melbourne at the moment. I've been doing a different coffee shop each day in the city of Melbourne since the start of the year when I'm in Melbourne. And I haven't run out yet. There's always something to explore. And it's not just the coffee shops, not just buying coffee. It's the people. It's the fabulous people serving, the baristas, the waitering staff, some interesting and colourful people out there that work right across and work with the visiting tourists. And it's a fabulous thing. So I reckon get out there and tell us some fabulous places you can see in your own city. And if you're in Melbourne, the places in Melbourne that you reckon we should go and perhaps set up camp and do a detour show from.
Oh, that'd be heaven. But, you know, last weekend, talking about, you know, travelling local, my neighbour and I, we took a trip down to Portsea Back Beach. And it was just really nice to sort of let the wind in your hair and
how
stuff
do you get
like
there?
That.
If you're not from Melbourne, they might know. How do you get to Portsea from Melbourne?
You ring my neighbour Michelle, she'll put you in the car and she'll drive you away.
Thought so.
You just go up a freeway. What is it? I don't know, the freeway, whatever it's called. You know, the new freeway.
Set in E-tac. True inner urban.
Yeah, well, there's no tram going there. Honestly, my nose was bleeding like a trooper, you know, once we pass that last tram stop. But, no, because I'm not driving at the moment, so I don't know. These new freeways and things are just a myth to me. But you get on the freeway and you just keep going, and then you get to Dramana and you follow the freeway again and around you go. But when you do go, there's a fantastic drive from Mornington. If you can get off the freeway, I don't know what the road is called, but it's a little bit like the Great Ocean Road. It sort of, you know, weaves around and then you end up at Safety Beach in Dramana. But it was an absolutely fantastic day. And talking about cafes, it's amazing the quality of coffee that you can get from, you know, country cafes. And the quality of food, we went to a little pastry place in Sorrento and it was absolutely jumping. But the coffee was fantastic. And and I had the most beautiful passion fruit sponge that I've not had a sponge since I was about 7. And it was fantastic. So, it's get out there and, you know, go for the mad country drive on Sundays and just see where you end up.
And that's down Mornington Peninsula, which is just out of Melbourne.
You can Portsea.
An hour and a half. In fact, an hour. You can be past Frankston, and be lying on a nude beach down at Sunnyside.
It's a bit chilly to be nude at the minute.
No, I think there's a perfect time of year to nude up. There's not many people on the beach.
I'd rather not go there, Greg.
Well, if you need to know how to get around on public transport, you can use the Journey Planner from the Metlink website, and you can get to Portsea by public transport easily. There's good connections. It's easy to do. So check that out if you're looking for more information. A special thanks to Tristan, who's SMS'd us to say, "Hi, Detours. Myself and my partner booked a holiday in Vietnam via an online agent after an extremely busy work period, so we didn't read all the 50 pages of info they sent us." This isn't boding so well. We finally arrived at the airport and the hostess asked us for our tickets and passports, which we produced, and then they asked for our visa, so I quickly pulled out my credit card, but it was denied to fly because they wanted the other type of visa. And after a hectic afternoon, $150 cash and a trip to Footscray, we had a Vietnamese visa and flew out 2 days later. The lesson learned is read the documentation.
That is
good advice. Thank you, Tristan.
Read it. And I bet, Tristan, you perhaps even, if you've got the visa, you mightn't have even checked your immunisations and your vaccinations. That's really important. And what about your travel insurance, Tristan? You know, what if you hadn't got your visa? Would you have been covered with travel insurance if you hadn't had it? So I'm hoping you had travel insurance.
Well, I had travel insurance for my trip that I booked to Japan. And, of course, with the tragic earthquake and then tsunami, the tours that I was going to go on were cancelled. And, of course, there were warnings from Smart Traveller, the Australian government, about not to travel. So, fortunately, my travel insurance covered all of that. No trouble.
You should always be careful. Read the fine print, compare the policies. I have had a negative experience on travel insurance. I was pickpocketed in Akihabara in Tokyo. There's a electric city, they call it. It's where you can buy electrical products or see stuff in Japan that you don't get here because their market's too small. Mm-hmm. And this very nice German man came up to say hello because he recognised that I was someone that might speak English or, you know, not Japanese, and he spoke pretty fluent English. And while we're having this lovely chat with this very handsome young man, having a bit of a chat, and I was thinking about maybe having dinner and stuff like that, his equally handsome German partner was round the back pickpocketing my pocket. And I lost my Australian mobile phone. I lost some cards for camera memory, a whole heap of different things. So long the short is, the fine print on the insurance documentation I had not read, and it was out of my pocket, not out of theirs. So you need to read your fine print, check if you're covered for all those events that might happen, depending on your itinerary. So if you're going on water, if you're doing a water tour in Vietnam, like I'm sure Tristan and his partner did, you want to be covered for water, you want to have your equipment covered. If you've got a camera that's quite expensive, you want to make sure that's covered as well. Read the fine print.
Mm. Good advice. And we've got an SMS from Jane who asks, has anyone ever flown on Air Asia on the new flatbeds? And she's thinking about booking. If you've had some experience and you'd like to share, let us know.
I know who has. Chonghin has. Chonghin flew back in about 8 weeks ago on the front end, paid the extra fee and actually slept all the way back on the flatbed. And it's a brilliant idea. So I've got good reports coming there from one of our Joy members.
And somebody's just corrected me and very succinctly put, the Esplanade Marine Drive, Point Nepean Road, thank you. It is embedded in my memory. Because I'm the sort of person that, you know, and I think it comes from driving from being a very young age that, you know, Sundays, you know your favourite surf beach and how to get there, but you very rarely really take note of the names of the roads and things like that. Oh, I never do. I'm just so intent on getting to find the good surf, basically, I think.
Now, we did not come back to money. We forgot to come back to money.
We did.
So, Jody, what's your form of currency? What do you take? How much do you take? And how do you plan that one?
I try and prepay for the big things so I don't need to fork out any money along the way. And then I use a combination of a card, a reloadable card from the bank that has really good rates and it's got good insurance as well. And then I actually also use a credit card and take a small amount of cash. I try not to carry too much cash with me, but in countries like, you know, a lot of Asian countries, you need cash because they don't have as many ATMs or take FPOS, that type of stuff.
Some countries don't actually slide you the fee that we pay here. If you come to Melbourne and you catch a taxi, you're going to pay 10% on top of everything. But if you go to some countries, it's like almost zero. Now, in the next few weeks, Jody, we've got some interesting guests coming up on Detours, but we always want more. If you've got some fabulous stories and want to come and share them with us of what you do, your adventures overseas, how should they get involved?
They can email us at detours@joy.org.au, or you can check us out on Facebook and just search for us, Detours 949. And if you want more information, go to joy.org.au. You can also download the new iPhone app and you can listen to us all around the world.
And coming soon, Android, if they get the app done.
Yeah, stage. We can even come around and have a chat if they like the personal touch.
Well, we could.
Yeah.
You have to feed us, though.
Thanks for sharing today. It's been fun talking travel.
It sure has.
Chewing fat.
Okay, bye now.
Bye for now. I've been around the world.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.